Merry Christmas. You know, I love the month of December because we understand that Christmas is just that. It's about Christ, right? We want to make sure that Jesus is the reason for the season. Many times as we're, you know, going about shopping and you get really busy, you get to thinking about the gifts under the tree instead of the gift who hung on the tree. Of course, Jesus. And so I want to tell you that it is about Jesus. Don't get all stressed out. That's what my talk is about today. And this whole month, we're just going to be celebrating the victories that you are going to see in 2020. These are your banner years, right? Some of you have said, hey, I listen to the podcast every week across the country. How do I give or tithe to Faith Church? You can just go to faithchurch.com and give online, or you can text from your phone. You just text the number 77977, Faith, O-N-L, and you can give there. Again, that's 77977, Faith. And you can just put the online campus by saying ONL, and you can give there. And again, thank you for asking. Thanks for sending the emails and commenting and saying, how can you support? Because it truly is through your generosity that we can reach more and more people each and every week through the podcast, television outreach, and all the things we do around the world. Let's get right on into today's podcast.
Stepping back. How many of y'all are grateful for a church that embraces people that might have made mistakes? Come on, somebody ought to shout hallelujah to that. And it took him to the next night, but the next night he came up and then God blessed him, because there's always blessing on the other side of obedience. Everybody shout that with me. There's blessing. Come on, shout it like you had breakfast. Come on. There's blessing on the other side of obedience. Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, if you're nice to me, I might bless you. Go ahead. Tell him, say, yeah. You know, the video really shows the fact that we were a vessel as a church, and we are vessels of God to do good work. And I think that we are Jesus' hands and feet, that we should do goodwill, that we should do things to help other people, that we should do with what's in our hand, what's on the heart of God. Because God's got a big heart, and He wants to do something. When we actually help people up with a leg up, you know, we're saying, hey, come on up, even if it's under house arrest, we're helping them actually fulfill their greater destiny, to live in their greater purpose. And I think that's what Jesus would want us to do. And since this is 2019 and it's His birthday, how many of y'all know we ought to do what Jesus wants us to do and help as many people as we can? Come on, church, give it up. When I think today about all the things that we have done as a church, when I think about all the churches that we have, when I think about all the wells that we've dug and all the churches that we've planted in India, when I think about the medical missions that we've done globally, when I think today about in Haiti that there's ambulances running around to go into clinics that we help provide, and we've done so much. When I recall, and today I was thinking this morning just about how the girls that we've helped rescue through A21 or through originally years and years ago with the Barnetts in California when they bought the LA Dream Center, formerly the old LA Hospital, and now our legacy lives on. In fact, some of the people that helped us do that back then, they're already in heaven, but I believe that they are on the parapets of heaven looking down at all the good that they have done with their life, and now we're standing on their shoulders to do more, because 2020 is definitely our year of jubilee to see the supernatural presence. And somebody ought to help me today. God wants to do something great with our life, and so we've got to expand ourselves in the year of jubilee and say, Lord, what do you want me to do, and how do I come up with the mindset to be a willing vessel? And today, these pots are everywhere at all the campuses, kind of actually, and it's going to really tie into our talk today about being a vessel that God can use. There's an old song, it says, I want to be a vessel that you work through. That vessel, God wants us to be a vessel. A vessel is something that God actually pours something into, and He uses that vessel for the greater cause. I think back to my childhood. How many of y'all grew up kind of poor? Raise your hand here at West Palm. Raise your hand. Wave it. How many of y'all like me and you were really, really poor? Like seriously, like Christmas, there was like people were giving you pictures, right? You drew stuff. And the neighborhood that I kind of grew up in here in St. Louis, down by the Monsanto factory, the Riveted Pear. Florida doesn't know anything about it, but anybody familiar with that area of town, right? And so I lived there, and we didn't have any money, but hardly at all. But at the corner, about a block away, there was a confectionery. Now, this is back before Quick Trip and 7-Eleven. This is these little confectionaries, and they had all these little penny candy, and it was usually owned by a local dude. And I remember going in there sometimes with just a quarter. Remember when a quarter would buy you a little bit of something? Some of you are like, you don't even know, a quarter doesn't do anything anymore. But back then, it would do it something. And I would go in there and think, well, I could buy this Bomb Pop or buy this, you know, different candy. And I had some of my little friends there. They didn't go to church. And I remember them going in with me, and they didn't have any money. I didn't have much money. But they didn't have any money, and they just stole. And I was thinking about it today. I thought they would just steal candy when the guy wasn't looking. In fact, they actually made fun of me. They're like, why would you spend your money? They had learned a system, and the system worked for them then. They're probably in jail today. Come on, somebody. But the fact is, they were working their system based out of poverty because they didn't have anything. And since they didn't have anything, they did whatever necessary to do what they needed to do, which was feed that thing called sugar. Anybody remember loving sugar? Raise your hand if you still love it. Remember the little things you, anybody ever remember the necklace that had candy all the way around it? You would eat it. Come on, raise your hand if you're old. Right? Remember the bubble gum that looked like a cigar, pink and, come on, raise your hand. Remember the cigarettes that were candy? Come on, somebody help me right now. I know Ron Isley's here today. He remembers this. He's over 21. It's your thing. Do what you want to do with it, right? I can't tell you who to sock it to. But in life, these guys had to figure out a way. Well, that's the way I grew up. Some of you might have grown up that way. But there needed to be a paradigm shift in my life to where I realized that God wants to bless us. He wants us to be a willing vessel so that we could do something good. Most of the guys in my neighborhood who was stealing, causing trouble, probably are not the head of some organization that is helping people and making the world a better place. Why? Because my dad, check this out, he taught me the word. The word changed my life. And then the word that I'm standing on today is only because my dad put it in me. And then I became a vessel, not a perfect vessel, but a willing vessel. Everybody shout that. I'm a willing vessel. Come on, real loud, Florida. Come on. I'm a willing vessel. I want to be a vessel. Now, there comes to this point in your life where you got to realize there are a lot of things in the world that need to be done. A lot of hurting people. A lot of people that are doing things that they shouldn't do based on the information that they had, and they thought the only way to get what they wanted out of life or to pay their bills was to go down a certain path that left them on house arrest. But this is the year in 2020 where all prisoners are going to be released. Not only people who are locked up because of things they did do or didn't do, falsely accused for doing. Some people are locked up in a prison of their soul. And God wants to give us information that gives us power that the seed that we sow in 2019, we will harvest a great harvest in 2020 because we're going to be willing vessels. Come on, somebody give God praise today for the master's use. So my friends had a system to steal candy. Look at your neighbor and say, I bet it was you. Turn it to him. But God actually selected you, West Palm. He selected you to do something good. These vessels are going to represent the story in John chapter 2. Let's go there. On the third day of the wedding. Now, this is a shadow, the third day of the resurrection of Jesus, by the way. But on the third day, there was a wedding in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Holy Mary, Mother of God. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. Now, we got to remember, this is a small town, and when they had the weddings in Canaan, everybody's invited, and everybody was expected to go. And when they ran out of wine, everybody shout, uh-oh. When they ran out of wine, how many of y'all know that's a problem? And you might have run out of wine today in your marriage, or run out of ideas, run out of concepts. You might be right now very low. When they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no more wine. Then I love what he said to her. Jesus said, woman, what does this have to do with me? Woman. The reason why he said that was he was trying to, and I want to paint it to you right now, trying to paint a picture that he didn't turn water into wine because he was doing a favor for his mother. This isn't a Mother's Day sermon. In fact, we find out through the scripture that many times he said stuff like this, who is my mother? Who is my father? But he who does the will of the Father. See, Jesus was saying, I want to be a willing vessel to do what God has called me to do. And if I'll do what he called me to do, then I can walk in my divine purpose and flow. And then now he's also demonstrating for us that we can walk in that same flow. So he said, woman, not because he was trying to be rude. He wanted us thousands of years later, 2,000 years later, after he died on the cross, to say, hey, Jesus is saying, I'm not doing this because it's my mother. I'm doing this because someone is about to put a demand on my faith. And we know the end of the story. Water's about to turn into wine. But it wasn't because his mother asked him to do it. Verse 5 says, let's put it on the screen. His servants, his mother said, well, whatever he says to do to you, whatever he says for you to do, just do it. Whatever he says for you to do, do it. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. What is God asking you to do that you're not doing? Anybody like me, and many times you've known what to do, but you did not do it. Raise your hand right now. I want to give you one more chance to not go to hell from here or West Palm. Let's try that one more time. Anybody ever God told you what not to do and you did it, and then when it didn't work out, you said, I knew that wasn't supposed to do that. Look at your neighbor and say, you're the reason why I did it. It's your fault. So God speaks to us because we are his willing vessels, but so many times we don't do what he asks us to do. And Jesus' mother said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. When he told me to, you know, go on television years ago here in St. Louis and say, go on television, don't preach like your dad preached. Because my dad preached like this. You're on your way to hell right now. You'd be driving down Highway 270 and a cupcake truck is going to hit you. And you got one foot on a banana peel and the other one sliding right into hell. And you're going to go to hell. And so I just started preaching what he preached. And I was up yelling that one day. This is the phrase I said. Listen to this, Florida. I said this in St. Louis at the church. I said, because my dad said it. How many of y'all know you got to be careful because you'll say what your dad said? And my dad would say, I would rather you go to hell from a bar stool than go to hell from this church. And I said that. I said, I would rather you go to hell from a bar stool than go to hell from this church. And the Holy Spirit said, I wouldn't. I'm like, what are you talking about, Willis? He said, I would that none should perish, but all would come to repentance. He said, you're teaching that because your daddy always said that. Why don't you read the Bible for yourself when it said that I don't want any to actually fall and go into hell. Just because your daddy said it doesn't mean your father said that. So now change it and say it like this. He said, now listen here. He said, start pointing at the camera like this and say, I'm not pointing the finger at you this way, but I'm pointing the finger at you this way. I want to put a ring on your finger, a robe on your back. God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. And what do you know? The church started exploding with growth because people were like, oh, I'm at a bar stool. I know I'm on my way to hell. And the last thing I want is this guy trying to scare the out of me. Come on, somebody. They already think they're going to hell. On the way there, somebody told them to go to hell. But God is saying, I don't want any to perish. Now, this is the important part is this. This works for your business, West Palm. It works here, anywhere in the world, it'll work. Whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Just do it. Here's the question. For you to be successful in 2020, you can either learn the system of the world, and my friend's system was they would steal the candy. And how many of y'all know that probably didn't work out in the end? I'm going to try it again. West Palm, I hope to God you're not as quiet as these people are today in St. Louis, but these people, we got a lot of thieves still up in St. Louis right now. That system of the world is get the education, go to work. You know, it starts like this, actually. Go to kindergarten, paint pictures, put it on the refrigerator so your mom and dad can see it. Then you go to grade school, then you go to high school, then you go to college and you get student loans, and then you pay on those student loans until you get married, then you get divorced, then after that, then you marry the girl that you met on Facebook that you actually should have married in the first place, and now you're actually take care of one another, and then you pick out the nursing home and then you die. That's kind of the way it works. Because most people in America are in debt right now. They're paycheck to paycheck living. I'm saying that God wants you to be a vessel of a resource, a channel, a pot where he can actually use your life in 2020 for the greater good, to take more people shopping that can't afford it, to buy more churches for people that can't afford it. Somebody ought to give God praise today. There's the world system and the word system. Let's all shout it. The world system and the word system. So his mother, verse 5 said, he said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Now, there were a set of 6 water pots. Check it out on the screen. 6. 6 means man. 6 means flesh. So that's not even by accident that God has it there. There were 6 water pots of stone. Notice we have hearts of stone until we receive Jesus. It says that according to the manner of purification, the Jews would take 20 to 30 gallons apiece and they would fill the water pots with water, and they use these pots here in West Palm, you see them on the stage, and they would wash their hands in them. It was flesh, all flesh. They actually had some essential oils in here. If you read about it, for real, it was. They had all kinds of oils of purification in there, and all you people that sell essential oils are like, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Quick work. So they're washing. Now, they're in the flesh. The stone pots are flesh. And then, all of a sudden, when they run out of water, Jesus said, fill the water pots up with water. And they did it. Watch this. They did it. When he said, fill it up, they filled it up with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said, draw some out now. Take it to the master of the feast, And when they took it to the master of the feast and he tasted the water that was made to wine, that he didn't know where in the world it came from. And the feast that was about to be over, Jesus takes what they run out of, and the people at the party didn't even know they ran out. But when you run out, you run out. Now, the problem with really running out then is this. In the Jewish custom, this guy who now is marrying this girl, he has to court her for over a year, and he has to save up all his money because he's got to throw a party for the entire town. And if he runs out of anything, it means that he's a bad provider. It means that he come up short. It means that he's going to be the laughing stock. And if you search this out, almost all theologians agree that when Jesus' mother came up to Jesus, she didn't say, "Hey, we're out of water, we're out of wine." She whispered in his ear and said, "Hey, Jesus, this is going to be terribly embarrassing for this young man. God doesn't want to ever shame you. And I need you to provide for him because this thing could be over. He's been courting her for a year. This is the end party, and now he's taking her, and now they're suffering lack." And then Jesus says, you know what he says, which is, "Woman," to prove that anybody could ask him in faith, saying, "Jesus, it's been a rough Christmas. Jesus, I don't have enough love. Jesus, I live in, you know, on the backside of the tracks. You know, here in West Palm, I don't know what to do. Even right now where you're at, sitting in a high school, you're actually at a place where God is moving in that high school right now. That street out in front of you, when we went there to start the church, it was called Shiloh. It still is called Shiloh. You turned onto Shiloh Road. That means meeting place with God. You might think you're in a dirty high school, but you're actually in a pot of purification that is a meeting place with God to get you in the track and the trajectory." Somebody ought to shout amen for God to do something great in your life. She whispers, "Hey, Jesus, this is really going to be embarrassing." Isaiah 54, you ought to write it down. Verse 4, it says, "Fear not, nor be ashamed, for you shall forget the shame of your youth, and the reproach of your widowhood you shall remember no longer." In other words, God is not going to shame you. Actually, all the stuff that didn't work out, the fact that you were on house arrest and now you got a check for $1,000 and your wife got a check for $1,000 and the church spent a bunch of money on your kids, thank God you realize that instead of shame, God's giving you double honor. I'm here to tell you that whatever you did wrong, however your dirty pot is, even though it's a stone and it's just a place where people wash their hands, God's about to do a miracle in something that is common, and he's going to make the best wine that you've ever had in 2020 in a jubilee, and he's going to take what you thought was going to be a lack, what you thought was going to be a setback, was actually a setup for a comeback, for a miraculous banner year breakthrough story where all debts are canceled, all property goes back to its original owner, and every prisoner is being released, and it's going to be a quick work. Somebody ought to shout it. Quick work. How fast is it going to be? Look at your neighbor and say, "A quick work. It's quick. It's quick. Ain't going to take long." Now, I love this. It says here, it says, "And they took it," when they took it to the master of the feast, he tasted the water that was made to wine. And the feast, he called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Hey, come here, boy." God takes him from, he's getting ready to look like a zero because they're going to run out of wine. And God makes him a hero in a second. He goes, "Hey, I got a question for you." He said, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk," which by the way, it does not say they were drunk. It says well drunk. They had just enough to realize that it wouldn't have been a big deal to have a wine that wasn't so good. Because the Bible said, "Be not drunk, wherein it is excess." So here all theologians agree that they were not drunk. They were just sitting there with a little bit of happy. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen. And said, "Well, even though they're well drunk, they've drunk a lot, that then the inferior wine they bring up." But he said, "You've kept the good wine until now." I'm here to tell you that some of you wish that you could have been a part of the church when it was 200 people. I'm telling you, the good wine, we've waited till now. You've said, "Man, I wish I would have started 20 years ago. I wish I would have raised my kids in church." You can't be thinking about what you didn't do or you could have done or you should have done. This is the best time to get in on the Jesus thing. Somebody ought to give God praise. It's right now. He can do for you what you never thought could happen. He can take the flesh of your life where they've been washing their dirty hands in, and he can actually make the best wine. Here they have this nasty container that everybody's been washing their hands in. And they go, "All right, out with that. What are you turning to wine? Open the eyes of the blind. They're filling up with water. No one like, oh God, please do it. God, I believe that you're a banner. I don't think Pastor David's lying about that. God, I think, and then the Bible said, don't just fill it up a little bit and think, well, because some people think that that was a residue of wine that was still in there. No, this wasn't a wine vase. This was a nasty place, a vessel of dishonor. Isn't it amazing how God takes vessels of dishonor and makes honorable vessels out of those people? Isn't it amazing how God takes the foolish things? Somebody ought to give God praise today. He takes the foolish things of the world and confounds the wise. In the beginning of my life, when I think about where I came from, and I think about how I'm just a stone pot, and not a clean pot at that, an uneducated pot, an unholy pot. Everybody in my family smoked pot. Come on, somebody. We were so poor, we didn't have a pot. Somebody ought to help me right now. But God takes a stony pot that is only for washing hands, and he says, I'm going to do a miracle with David. I'm going to do a miracle with you. And even through my pain and rejection and divorce and betrayal and all the dumb stuff I did on top of it just to like add to the problem, God says, I'm going to take that old nasty pot and I'm going to make the best wine out of it. And he's going to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And there's going to be a bunch of people get around him and they're going to change the world. Somebody ought to shout amen today. I'm saying right now that the beginning of the thing pales comparison to the end of the thing. God is about to do a big work, a quick work with people who have a heart of stone, with people who have a dirty past, with people that have a life that they're not proud of. I'm here to tell you today, never be ashamed of what you did. Be proud of what God did for you. And the more glory you give to him, the more honor and blessing and favor he will give to you. I give you 10 seconds to praise him right now. Woo! Hallelujah. Quick work. Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, as dirty as you are, I bet you like this sermon. Now, the Bible says that there was a bunch of wine left over because the people didn't say they'd already been drinking. And now they have six filled to the brim vessels overflowing with wine. That's a whole lot of wine. By the way, they weren't little like this. These were little because we're on a budget and they went to Home Depot and bought these. These were big, big vases about my height, and they were full. In other words, God took the bridegroom and didn't shame him because of lack. God blessed him, and not only did he bless him, everybody had plenty, and then they had all this extra wine, just like the woman God put in the oil business in the book of Kings. When she was down to the last dollar that she had, and he said, go get a bunch of vessels, and said, I'm going to pour oil in the vessels. And he said, don't go just get a few vessels. Think big. Think multi-site. Think multi-state. Think good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Think reach the world. Who am I talking to? Don't think one practice. Think 10, Blake. Come on. Don't think one hit album. Think 20 hit albums. Don't think little. Think big, because we serve a big God. And the oil started flowing, and she came in, and they're just filling them up, and they're filling them up, and the oil's overflowing, 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 overflowing. And then eventually they get them all, and she said, bring me more buckets, bring me more vessels. And they said, we don't have any more. She's like, oh no. And as soon as she didn't have anything extra to contain the goodness or the blessing, the oil ceased. Now listen to me, West Palm, listen to me, St. Louis. Don't, please don't limit God to the size of your container. Please don't limit God to the filth of your past container. Please understand that this was a stony pot that was only for washing hands, yet the nastiest of pots made the sweetest of wines. I think the people that have the best testimonies are people who don't have a lot of themselves in it. And they say, oh God, if it hadn't been for Jesus, I wouldn't get to do this job. If it hadn't been for Jesus, I wouldn't have such a great wife. If it hadn't been for Jesus, I wouldn't have those beautiful kids sitting on the front row in West Palm Beach. If it hadn't been for Jesus, I wouldn't have got Nicole. I wouldn't have got Ashton. I wouldn't have had such a great church. Oh God, I'm a dirty pot who did not deserve to get to do this. But oh God, thank you. you that you use me, a willing vessel, not a clean vessel, but a willing vessel to say, God, here I am, use me. And I'm telling you, at 50 years old, I'm crying it more than I ever have. I want to do great things for Jesus. Our finest days and blessed days are out ahead of us. Give him praise today in the sanctuary. Give Jesus praise. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. I ordered a pizza. Should be here any minute, right before I came on. Thought I would get hungry. Thank you. Here's some pizza. Hey, come here. Bring it out again. Just bring it out. What if he came to my door like that? Come on. You ordered a pizza? How many of y'all know this is a problem? Some of you are like, there ain't a problem. I eat it right now. Fell on the floor. I eat it. Come on. Go with me on this. It's a problem. I don't know if he's washed his hands. He's a guy. Probably didn't. He's bringing my thing that I need to eat. He's bringing it to me, but he didn't bring it in the container. He didn't bring it in the box. I checked it out. This box cost 35 cents because Domino's orders so many of them. Not a lot of money. But it sure is important if the Domino man comes, that 35 cents is a big part of the delivery. Come on, raise your hand with me right now. How many of y'all don't want to see? Like, I could save 35 cents, just have him bring it to me in his hand. Come on, raise your hand if you agree with me that they should put it in the box. Rest y'all nasty, nasty people. West Palm, y'all nasty. Look at your neighbor and say, you nasty. This pizza's hot. It's good, but I need the container. It's two parts. The container is not the valuable thing because it's only 35 cents. The contents of what is in the container is that which is of value. I'll tell you, I don't have a lot of value, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And God's calling us, church. Somebody ought to shout amen. He's looking for some willing vessels, some obedient vessels to say, here I am, God, use me. I'm hot, I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm able, and this is my season. This is my jubilee. In 2020, I'm expecting all manner of goodness to come to me. Look at your neighbor and say, he's preaching. Look at your neighbor and say, I want some pizza right now. I don't care if you do, but I do. I like pepperoni. Yeah, I don't like anchovies. Come on, help me right now. I like it hot and juicy. Look at your neighbor and say, I do too. Look back and say, that was kind of weird. All right, almost done. There's a feast. The bridegroom could be embarrassed at any moment. And God is saying, no, I want to use willing vessels, obedient vessels, not perfect vessels, empty vessels, not lukewarm vessels, hot vessels, not disobedient vessels, but obedient vessels, not dishonorable vessels, but honorable vessels. My dad used to quote this scripture to me all the time in 2 Timothy 2:20. He would say, in a great house, there are vessels of gold and of silver and of wood and of clay. Some of honor and some of dishonor. We only have one life, he would say, David. What you do with this life is so important. He would tell me stuff like, never take advice from a quitter. Never take advice from a pretender. People who have a $100 bill on the front and all ones on the inside. So he would say stuff to me that made me who I am. And not that I'm proud of who I am today, because I'm a little ashamed that I haven't done more, or that I didn't do more for God or the people of God. I want to do more. But when I look over the lives of my life and my family and other people, I see a lot of people all about the container. How will I look? How will this make me look? How can I look better? I'm all for you being blessed of God, but I'm just saying there's more to life than just being a container. We should be like a shipping container in 2020 saying, God, help me to be a vessel that you could use so that my container can be used more to implement ideas, concepts, and strategies that will help other people. Instead of just saying it's about my house, about my car, about my whatever, because the world has a system which is get all you can all you get, and send all you can't. God's system is this. Give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. He says, if you give me just a little bit, even if it's just water, I can turn the water into wine. I'm talking about the water in your marriage. Talking about the water that's diluted in your business. I'm talking about the dilution that is happening in your dreams. I'm talking right now in West Palm. Some of you are sitting there thinking, man, I don't think this is ever going to happen for me because you don't know what I've done. Online, you don't know what I've done. I don't know what you've done, but I know what he did. And 2,000 years ago, he hung on the cross of Calvary. Somebody ought to give him praise today. And by his stripes, you are healed. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He wasn't a dishonorable vessel. He never sinned. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet with no sin. And he never sinned, yet he became sin. So why have you forsaken me? So we could say, why have you accepted me? We're accepted in the beloved. We can do what God's called us to do. So as I'm wrapping it up here and in Florida today, I want us to think about these six containers. Six means man. And let's think about the way God took this stony pot, dirty stony pot, and made the sweetest wine out of it. Then I want you to ask yourself a couple of questions. If you're a note taker, I want you to write this down. I want you to ask yourself a couple of questions. One is, what do I want out of 2020? It's a great question. What do I want? And if it's just all guitars and Cadillacs, it's jacked up. It should be, I want my loved ones far from Christ to come home. I want to see that I've given more in 2020 than I did in 2019. Am I going to leave a legacy like my dad left? And I hope that I get to leave a legacy to where my kids here and those of you who are spiritual children of mine, they say, here's what my dad said. A mind stretched never goes back to its original size. Be holy for I'm holy. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Going to be a quick word. I think that you'll be able to shout all these things out that perhaps a person who never said I had it all together, but I said, I just want to give my whole life to God so that good would come to other people. You got to ask yourself that question today. Is Christmas all about you and yours, or is it all about him and his? I have another question to ask you, and this is just from today. Earlier when you saw that family receiving that great blessing, and some people would say that, and he said himself, he felt like he was a dirty pot, but if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But when that was playing, did your heart do what mine did, that it was just full of joy? Raise your hand. Come on, West Palm. Raise them high. How many of y'all, that just warmed your heart? And every service, we could show you things that would warm your heart that you do. Because when you give here at this church, you don't give to this church. You give through the church. And the church of Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. That's why he wants us to bring the tithe into the storehouse, which is 10%. That's why he said, you've robbed me in tithes and an offering. And then once a year, we come in and we say, hey, God, we're actually giving back not only our tithe, we're returning the tithe, but we're giving our own offering. This is the weekend of Jubilee. Everybody shout Jubilee. Jubilee. It's the weekend of Jubilee where we come back and we say, God, I want to make sure that we offer you something that'll make a difference not only in our lives, but other people's lives. And then I don't want you to, you know, try, you can't talk to a butterfly, you can't talk butterfly languages to, with caterpillar people, you know? You can't soar with eagles and hang with turkeys. You can't think the way they did when I was a kid where they were stealing the candy. Because the Bible said, let him that stole steal no more. There has to be a concept, a mind change, a reality change where you realize that you're not your source. that as highly educated as you are, and even if you paid back the student loans, that the answer was not in the education, that the answer was in the blessing, the favor of God that is on you, that's with you. It's important, business guys, that we say, God, I need your direction. I was with the Secretary of State in Washington, D.C. a few days ago, Mike Pompeo, and I went into his office, and he told me this. He said the whole weight of the world is on him, and he was talking about some people that he just met that came back, assets, and the assets were dead in the plane landing in Washington, and he looked at the assets and looked at the family, and he felt the pain that he always feels, and Mike told me this. He said, it's gotten so bad in America that three times a day, I get down on my knees right here in my office and I ask God, God, I need you. God, this is a highly educated man. This is one of the leaders of the free world. And he said, God, help me. And I want to talk to the business person just for one moment. Maybe this could be something that you would do where when God was asking me there in West Palm, when he told me to get down, baptized my hands and asked me not to listen to any secular music for the rest of the year, and I've done that. The revival came to our church, and whatever I gave up and all the other things he asked me to give up, it was so small compared to the wine that he started making in my life. I gave him a dirty playlist, and he gave me back something that started singing songs from heaven that we're singing right now. In fact, we're getting ready to sing one that came from the revival. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm just saying that when you get down on your knees, the way up is down. You're thinking the way up is education. The way up is like knowing somebody. No, listen to me, West Palm. The way up is down. When you get on your knees at your business, or students get down on your knees at the school. They kicked me out. They won't let us in anymore. They won't let God in. They put in metal detectors, but they took God out. You can't pray in school, but you can pray in school. Right there, you could drop down at the locker and say, God, help my mind. God, bless me. Bless my school. I know it's kind of far-fetched, but what would happen if people started praying and seeking God every stinking day? Wouldn't it be incredible? It's a holy time. I have a question to ask you here in St. Louis and in West Palm. Raise your hand if this message touched your heart. Raise your hand real high. You can put it back down. I have another question to ask you. Keep your eyes open. How many of y'all, while I was talking, you felt like the Lord or something in your heart told you things beyond what I was giving you, like wisdom from God welled up inside you. Raise your hand. That's God speaking to you here in West Palm. It's not my presence in the room that's necessary. We're live stream, but I mean, it's God's presence that's necessary today so that your life can forever be changed, because no longer in 2020 are you going to think like the world. I know you're not stealing candy, but in a way you are stealing candy. Because you're stealing the tithe, trying to get ahead. You're stealing the offering, trying to get ahead. Now we're going to do it the word way and not the world way. And nobody's losing but you. I'm saying it's time today to offer God your pie. Now what we're going to do, we've never done it this way, but I felt like I was talking to our team this week when I was praying about how can we honor God this weekend. When we know it's not about the gifts that are under the tree. It's about the gifts who hung on the tree. I said, wouldn't it be kind of cool? Our team was talking like to come up with a creative way when we're preaching about the pots. If maybe we put, you know, like three pots, like kind of, and we'll strike them over here, and in Florida we'll do the same, and we'll put three pots over here. And today as we go to dismiss, instead of just kind of like having the ushers serve the people today, maybe today's the day that we say what we ought to do is, even if you're giving online, symbolically, you walk to the altar. Even if today you say, Pastor, I'm not going to put my offering in there because I text to give. That's fine. I'm talking about symbolically. As a symbol of when those guys, check this out, pay attention. This is the Lord right now. Please listen to me. Just think, when those guys grabbed that bucket and they went over there and filled it with water, they were doing what? They were walking forward in faith, believing that God was going to turn the water into wine. And that's what the Lord instructed me today to do at all of our campuses. And I know you might feel uncomfortable, but trust me, everybody's going to do it. So nobody's going to be looking at you. But today we're going to worship God as we sing this song. And we're going to walk down, even if you've given on text. You just come up symbolically, because what you're doing is you're walking saying, God, I know you're about to turn this dirty pot into a clean pot. You're about to turn my marriage. The wine is gone, but I'm walking by faith sowing. Our children's lives are messed up, but I believe, God, as we're sowing this seed in the banner of your offering of 2019, God, that I'll harvest it in 2020 in a greater work. Father, I pray right now for everybody here, everybody in West Palm. God, that in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. God, today we worship you like they did in the old covenant when they would bring the sacraments and the sacrifices to the front of the altar. It's at the altar where we gave our life to you. It's at the altar where we got saved. It's at the altar where we got married. It's at the altar where we got baptized. At the altar is where we alter our life. And today, God, I pray that as here and in West Palm Beach, as we stand to our feet right now, come on, everybody stand to our feet. God, we stand to our feet and we say that this is your birthday. In a few days, we will celebrate your birth. But today, God, as an actor of our own will, we bring our tithes and our offerings to the front as we worship you. We're walking in faith, believing that you're turning our water into wine. As we sow our breakthrough banner of your seed today, we bring it into these buckets by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, sing with me as you go. Come on up. In the presence of the Lord,
there is fullness. Well, I certainly hope you enjoyed the podcast today. And many of you have said, hey, I got some year-end giving that I need to do. I want to tithe and give and bless the church that's blessing me. And first of all, I want to say thank you. Thank you so much for your generosity. It enables us to help more people. So if you're, you can go to faithchurch.com and give online, or you can text the number 77977 Faith ONL and then the dollar amount. Again, the text is 77977. That's easy. Then Faith ONL and the dollar amount. And of course, your tax deductible gifts will go a long way helping us help people. And I know the broadcast is helping you because you DM us on social media. You send us emails. And again, we just want to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas, and I hope to see you soon at the Faith Church.